Yes, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it has already been just being in this place. I trust that you have sensed the presence of the Lord here. You've already heard messages. You've been influenced by the congregational singing. Every song we've sang has had a message. I trust that you've received the specials we've heard. What a tremendous blessing being in the house of the Lord with His presence in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 27, Acts in chapter 27, the whole chapter records Paul's travel as a prisoner to Rome. And if you know the book of Acts and what took place in Paul's life, God now has worked in his life, revealing to Paul, Paul was to go to Rome. He had to appeal unto Caesar because he was going to be killed by the Jews. And so now he is on his way to appeal to stand before Caesar Augustus. He's going to Rome, which was God's will for his life all along. But he's going now as a prisoner. And so in chapter 27, we're going to read, starting in verse 9 and read down to verse 25. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. The book of Acts, chapter 27, starting in verse 9, reading down to verse 25. As I read, you follow right along with me. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, west, and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, a typhoon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of a ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we love you and thank you again, Lord, for loving us. And thank you for the opportunity to be in church on this Sunday morning. Thank you for what we've already experienced being in this place. But now, Lord God, as we open up your eternal, written down, preserved word, God, I know that you have a message for each one of us from it. And I pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth that message for your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Again, Paul now is on his way to Rome. No doubt he is known by the centurion of a testimony of one who believes in the Creator God. And he has made that known that he is a believer, he's a Christian, he believes in Jesus Christ. And so as they get ready to sail, we find in verse 10 that Paul counsels them not to travel. They listen, but they also think, Paul, you're just a prisoner and you're not a professional sailor. Surely you would not have the insight that these men that have given their life to sailing have. And so they disregard what Paul, a prisoner, had counseled them. And verses 14 to 20, they decided to go. In verses 14 to 20, they ran into a typhoon. This, what the Bible calls the name of this, Euroclydon. And in that area, in that time, it would have been known as somewhat of a typhoon. And after they had been many days without food and water and no sun, and all they have been experiencing is the wind blowing hard and the rains coming down and the waters coming up over the ship. I mean, you can imagine being in a typhoon out there in this kind of a primitive ship at that point in time. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on them," meaning the waves had been continually coming over the boat. And I mean, it was a devastating time in their lives. The Bible says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They find themselves in a state of hopelessness. The worst state anyone could ever be in. When there's no hope. The Bible says they find themselves in a state of hopelessness and living with a fear of death and knowing they were going to die. They had already given up on living. They knew they were going to die, just when they were going to die. And then we find that Paul, a prisoner but a servant of the Most High God, is on the ship. And Paul stood and says what God told him to say. And as Paul told them what God told him to say, it was what they all needed to hear. They were in hopelessness. And basically what Paul said is, I believe God. Be of good cheer. I believe God. What Paul did is what every true believer ought to be doing today. If you're saved here this morning, can I tell you, you have a message that the world needs to hear. You know more than what you think you know. The world's trying to get you to keep it inside of you. Just keep your thoughts to yourself. If they disagree with the ways of the world, if they disagree with the society that you're living in today, keep your thoughts to yourself. And so the world, and Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he is the god of this world, it's dumbing down Christianity by making you think that you don't know what you're talking about. That making you think that the world has more understanding than what you have. But what Paul did is what every true believer ought to be doing. It's what this world needs. And the world is in the condition that it's in, especially America is in the condition that it's in. It is in today because of the lack of truth being taught, being shared. Why was Paul motivated to do this? Where did Paul draw his strength from? Paul was a prisoner. How could he expect them to listen to a prisoner over a sea captain, over somebody that knew the seas and knew the land and knew what was to expect on the ocean, whatever it might have been? Why would they want to? Why would Paul speak out and tell them something different than the educated men were saying? And then, when all hope was gone, why would Paul then stand up once again and proclaim? Why did Paul have hope? Why wasn't he in the same panic-stricken state that everyone else was in? What was it that helped Paul to have hope and to be able to stand up in the midst of this typhoon when all hope was gone and say, "Be of good cheer. I believe God"? Well, I think when we understand how Paul was able to do that and how God used this, I think we can all relate to that, because then we can do as Paul did and just realize that we have a message from God that the world needs. The first thing about Paul was he, at this point, knew who God was. He truly believed in a creator God. In verse 23, look what he says. He says to them, "For there stood by me this night the angel," or the messenger of God, "whose I am." God sent me a message. And he's my God. And I know what he's capable of. I know of his power, whose I am, and whom I serve. He served God. See, Paul was raised to believe in a God. Paul was raised in the strictest form of religion known as the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was taught about God. He was taught Old Testament truths. He was taught the law. And he was bound and determined to live by the law. And he was bound and determined to serve the God that he thought he knew, but did not know. Until Acts in chapter 9. Look over there with me. Acts in chapter 9. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people today who just think they know who God is. Who just think that they are serving God and living within the boundaries that God has placed on them, which many think that are very, very wide boundaries. I can do whatever I want to do, live however I want to do. As long as I attend one service a week, I am still going to be right with God. I'm going to heaven. They only think they know God. They don't know God. Paul thought that he knew God, but Paul did not know God. We find Paul in chapter 9 was actually persecuting the very Savior that he would eventually realize was God in the flesh, and who would become his Lord and Savior, that the one that he would serve and call himself after Christ, a Christian. In chapter 9 of Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And Saul," his name was referred to him as Saul, "yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Paul thought he was serving God by persecuting Christianity. Which, when you look at his life and you saw what he was doing, any Christian would realize he doesn't know God. He might think that he knows God, but he does not know God. Because he's working opposite God. You can't know God and work opposite the ways of God and the will of God. So, "and he desired of him," he went unto the high priest and desired of them to Damascus, letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of his this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. He's looking to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. He's looking to persecute Christianity. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now listen to me, Saul believed in a God. And so when he was on this road and he heard this voice and he was seeing this light, he believed this to be God. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? He acknowledges, I really don't know who you are. I believe I know who you are. I'm calling you Lord. I'm calling you God. I believe in a God. But you're speaking to me and you're saying I'm persecuting you. Who are you? He came to the place in his life where he realized, maybe I don't know who God is. Maybe what I'm doing is not within the will of God. Maybe what I'm doing in persecuting the church is really not, I've had convictions, but maybe it's really not the way I should be living my life and conducting my affairs and whatever it might be. My goals might not be what I thought they were. I thought my goals were to become one of the high priests sitting at the board of the Pharisees, and this is how I was going to serve a God. And now God is revealing to Paul, you're persecuting me. So he says, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Amen. Whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He had been convicted in his heart, and his heart was being pricked by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And now he says, I know what you've been going through. It's kind of getting harder to kick against the pricks, aren't you? Isn't it, Paul? And look what it says. And trembling and astonished. Trembling because he realized at that point, you are the true God and I have been persecuting you. You are the only true God and I've been living opposite your will. Even though I thought that I knew who you were and I was living thinking I was pleasing you, now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are the God and I've been living opposite your will for my life. And trembling, because he knew that he had allowed Christians to be stoned, especially Stephen, in front of him. He had been breaking up these Christian homes and putting them in jail, persecuting them. Knowing that you're doing this and now you're standing before God, I think I'd be trembling as well. If I'd been living a life like this, and now I'm faced with talking to God. He says, astonished, said, Lord, if you are God, and I believe you are now, I know it now, I know that I've done wrong, but I'm looking to you as Lord. That's Paul's conversion. That's Paul's salvation. What will thou have me to do? I can't change the past. But now that I know who you are, I want to serve you. Where would you have me to go from here? Isn't that a blessing? Understanding this. He knew, now he knows who God truly is. But until he put his faith in God, until he received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior, he did not know who God was. But now that he truly knows who God was and is, he's able to counsel God's Word. He's able to realize that God will give him insight so that he might share it with others. Can I tell you that's the same today? If you're saved, you're God's voice. If you're a saved man, a saved woman, God has you here and he reveals to us that he wants us to be the light of the world. He doesn't want us to be a part of the darkness of the world. The world is a dark place, and the only light this world has is the light that God has given to us. And he has believers here so that we might be the light of the world. And not only that, he has us here to be the salt of the earth. If we're just like the world, then we've lost our savor. The salt is to make a difference when it's put on other foods. It is a preservative so that it will not waste. It is different from what it's put on. If it's the same as what it's put on, then it makes no difference. And God says, I have you on this earth to be a light, to share with them truths that they don't know outside of you tell them, and to make a difference that only you can make because you have my hand upon you. Paul knew who God was. He knew he was a servant of the Most High God, and thus he was willing and ready to communicate God's message. Paul, not only did he know at this point now who God was and is, because he has received him as his own personal Lord and Savior, he's done what the Bible says a person must do to be saved. Paul believed what God told him. If you don't believe what God's told you, you'll not tell others. You'll not have confidence to tell them what you doubt yourself. Amen? You have the thoughts, and the Holy Spirit might be revealing to you, these are the thoughts. This person needs to get saved. This person needs this. You have this knowledge. And you really know, because if you know the Bible, and you've been in church and been taught, and inside of you the Holy Spirit is saying this and that and the other. But if you don't have confidence in knowing that you know God and knowing His Word, then when it comes time to tell somebody, you'll back up. I don't know that I should say that. I don't know that I can say that. What will they ask? If I tell them this, they're going to ask a question. And surely, if they ask another question, I don't know that I'll know the answer. So I don't want to get involved in that. Especially when it's opposite what the world's telling them. So, because of that fear and that doubt of me truly believing it, I'll just keep it to myself. Sure glad Paul did keep it to himself. Paul believed what God had told him. Go back with me to Acts in chapter 27. Verses 22 down to verse 25. Paul says, and now I exhort you. They were in a state of hopelessness. They believed they were going to die. There was no help that was available. There was no way to fix their problem. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. Now these men already given up on everything. They was in a state of hopelessness. When Paul said, be of good cheer, about that time a big wave come over the side of the ship. The thunder. They heard the thunder in the background. The lightning struck. And they're saying, good cheer? Are you kidding me? Do you know what's going on, Paul? Have you not been on the same ship for these many days? How in the world can you expect me to be of good cheer when we're going to die? How in the world can you stand up and tell me to rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. How can you stand up and tell me to just turn it around by giving God thanks? Are you kidding me? I ought to be thankful for this. Amen. No doubt. You have to know that that's what was going through their minds. And no doubt Paul realized that was what was going through their minds. And Paul stood up confident in what God had told him. And he was able, with a smile on his face, say, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. But the ship. The ship's going to be destroyed. But God's going to deliver us. You're going to live. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. I can tell you to fear not because the angel told me to fear not. I can tell you to rejoice because the angel of God told me to rejoice. I can tell you to be of good cheer because the angel of God told me to be of good cheer. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Do we have faith to truly believe what God has told us? Do we have faith to believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do we have faith in this written down Word that God has miraculously preserved for us today? See, it's what faith is what allows us to see what the lost cannot see. In verse 10, Paul said to them to start with, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. The Spirit of God had revealed to Paul, because Paul was praying about everything he did, and the Spirit of God revealed to Paul, said, Paul, use your influence, try to convince them that they shouldn't sail. Because unless I intervene, you'll all die. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God told Paul the truth concerning what would happen if they sail, you're all going to die. And the only thing that will keep you from dying is that I will intervene for you. But Paul, if you make the right decisions, you'll not have to look for a miracle from God to intervene. If you just make wise decisions and look to me and be led by the Spirit of God, you don't have to worry about being caught in a typhoon. And Paul stands up trying to use his influence and says, sirs, I know I'm not as bright and smart. I'm not educated like you are on the seas and on the weather forecast and all that. Like our weather forecast men really know what's going to take place. You know what little boys that lie grow up to be? Weathermen. No doubt about it. He said, I can't tell you that I know how to predict the weather. I can't tell you that. But can I tell you that I perceive because I prayed about it, and God's told me that if we sail, if you do this, we're all going to die. So I'm trying to use my influence. Don't sail. And they think, he's a prisoner. What are we going to do? We're not listening to him. And they set sail. Faith allows us to see what the lost cannot see. In Hebrews in chapter 11, God defines faith. It tells us what it is. Do you have it? That's what I'm asking you now. Paul believed what God told him by faith. You have to believe what the Bible says by faith. And if you believe it by faith, you know it to be true because you believe it. And if you know it to be true, you're more apt to share it with others. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith, the Bible itself describes it, is a substance of things hoped for. Bible hope is future fact. The evidence of things not seen. You don't have to see it to believe it. You just have to know that it's what God says. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's through this faith that we see the evidence of intelligent design of creation. Can I tell you, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in creation. Evolution is a belief. It is a religion. You would not believe in evolution unless you were taught to believe in evolution. No one has ever believed in evolution unless they have been influenced to believe, because God has instilled within us a desire to seek after God, to believe that there is a God. Everything inside of you tells you that there is a intelligent design in things. You look around at nature itself reveals that there's a God. If you do not believe in a literal creator God, it's because you've been influenced to believe a lie of a philosophy, of a religion. The Bible gives us all, in chapter 11, all the different ones, the faith, that believed in faith and did great things by faith. But verse 13, it says this. These all died in faith. They went to their graves believing that the Messiah was coming. They went to their graves knowing that what God had told them was true. I want to go to my grave knowing. Amen. Never giving up on it. Faith allows us to see what the lost cannot see. I see the rapture because of faith. The lost outside of knowing the Bible and believing in God will say, you can't really believe in a rapture? And they'll laugh at you and they make fun because they can't see it because they have no faith. Faith allows me to see it. I don't fully understand how it's all going to work, but I know that there's going to be a trumpet sound. Amen. And I know that we're going to be called up together, a different dimension, but called up into a place where God is, and we're going to see Him, and we're going to see Him face to face, and we're going to see all the other believers. We're going to have glorified bodies. How do you know that? Because the Bible says it, and by faith I see it. Faith allows me to see a literal place of hell. People today will scoff at you and laugh at you if you believe in a literal, fiery, burning place of hell. But the Bible establishes it. The Bible tells me it's real. It's by faith that I know it's real. It's by faith that I can see heaven. Faith allows me to see the things that the lost will not see, cannot see. They cannot fully understand the glories of heaven. It's through faith that allows me to see it. And I know it to be real because of my faith in what the Bible says. See, all my faith is based on the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God. God has preserved me. He said, heaven and earth pass away, my word shall never pass away. And He's preserved it. That in itself ought to help us to know, if it's been preserved all this time, man could not have done that. Man wanted to destroy it. Tried to destroy it. But God's preserved it. Paul believed what God told him because he had faith in what the Word of God said. Paul told others what God wanted them to hear. The third part and last were done. Paul believed that God had him on that ship for a purpose. Do you believe you are where you are because God has a purpose for your life? I believe God has planted you in that home because He has a purpose for your life as a father, as a mother, as a parent. Do you guys believe that God has planted you at the place that you're working, spending 40 hours or 60 or some 80 hours a week at that place? Do you believe you're just there by chance? Or do you believe God has put you there because He has a purpose for you being there, at least for right now? Do you believe you're living where you're living on this earth, in the United States of America, in the state of Indiana, on your block, by chance? Or do you believe that we have a God who has a design for everything, has a purpose for everything? Verse 24. Go back there with me. Verse 24. Paul says, this angel stood by me, a messenger of God, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. I've got a plan for your life. You're going to get to Rome, Paul. If I could just come down there, pick you up off that ship and place you in Rome. I could do that. God could do it. Amen. But he had a purpose on that ship. because his life would affect every other life on that ship. I think around 267 souls were on that ship. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them. Every man on that ship, God has a purpose for their lives as well, Paul. And this experience that they're going through will change their lives. And you're going to be the one that I'm going to work through to change their lives. Because you're the one that told them not to sail. And they know that. You're the one that told them that they were going to die if they sailed. They know that. You're the one now that stands up and tells them that you heard from God and that God's going to spare them. When they realize their life was spared, it's not going to be because of their gods. It's not going to be because of some coincidence. They're going to know their lives were spared because of your God. Because of your witness. Given thee all them that sail with thee. All would live, but they would not be the same. Could you go through experience like that, hopeless, knowing you were going to die, and somebody stand up and say, with a smile, in the midst of a typhoon, holding on, cheer up! Rejoice! Everything's under control! I heard from God last night. And I believe God. And God told me that the ship's going to be destroyed, but we're all going to live. We're all going to live. You're going home to your families. You'll see your kids again. We're all going to live in the midst of a typhoon. I think that would change my life. When it came to pass. Who has God brought into your life that needs to hear you say, I believe God. This is what God says. Maybe a lost person who might think that they know God. Who might think that they know God. Who might think that they're on their way to heaven. But you know, because of the Bible says, they're lost. They believe in church membership's going to get them to heaven. They believe in a baptism as an infant's going to get them to heaven. They believe in their good works. If my good works outweigh my bad works, surely a loving God wouldn't send me to hell. And they believe that. And yet God has put you in their lives. And the Holy Spirit of God is telling you, you know what the Bible says. You know that if they do not confess their sin and call upon the name of the Lord, they will not be saved and they will die and they will go to a literal burning hell. And you know that. And God put you there because they need to hear you say, this is what the Bible says. And I believe the Bible to be true. Would you be saved? Would you call upon Jesus now? It's what the Bible says you have to do. Who has God put in your life? He has a purpose for your life. They need to hear you say that. Maybe God's put a backslidden believer, someone that you know is saved, is backslidden, who might be trying to justify their sin. And they're telling you, I don't need to go to church. I'm right with God. I've got to do this, and we've got this, and I've got time. I've got to spend that time with my family. Surely you don't want me to forsake my family. What they don't know is your family needs to be in church with you. But that backslidden so-called believer is there, and he's telling you this, and you're there, and the Holy Spirit of God's revealing to you what the Bible says, and you know that he's believed a lie, and you know he needs to be in church, and you know that, and yet you're suppressing that testimony that God has you there to give. What he needs to hear you say is, I love you, man. I can't let you continue to believe that lie. That's not coming from the Bible. The Bible says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says we need to come together as a church. And listen, I believe God. This is what the Bible says. And God's put you there so that you could be a witness. Maybe you're facing a person that's facing trials and troubles who needs to hear of God's amazing grace. And you're there. And you know of God's amazing grace. He saved you. You know of His love and the joy that He can bring into your life. And God's put you there, and that person needs to hear you say, if you look to God, He can restore you. If you look to God, He can bring back a peace that passeth all understanding. If you look to God and just give Him your life and stop trying to find the help from the world. Stop trying to find the help from the philosophies of the world. Stop trying to find the help from drugs. And stop trying to find help from alcohol. And stop trying to find help from all these other ways of life. Listen to me. I believe God, and God can give you an amazing grace, an amazing mercy, and forgiveness, and a peace, and a joy. God's put you there. Then put me there. He put you there. Maybe you're facing possibly a person facing the valley of death. They're dying. They need to hear. Heaven's real. They don't know that they need to hear that. They're dying and they're saying, I don't want to hear about religion. I don't want this. You're dying. The most important thing that you need right now is to know that there is a place of heaven. And if you trust Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there's a lot worse things that can happen than to go to heaven. It's all right. If it's God calling you home, it's all right as long as you know Him. Heaven's real. How do you know that? Because I believe God. And faith allows me to see it. God's put you where you're at. God had him on that ship for a purpose. Everyone on that ship would be touched by Paul's testimony of faith and believing God. God's put you where you're at for a purpose. Do you believe God? As Paul stood up with much boldness and proclaimed, I believe God. So should we. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. If you truly believe God, you can stand with boldness and tell others, I believe. And this is what God says. It started by Paul knowing who God was. Do you know God? I'm not asking, do you think that you know God? Do you truly know the God of this Bible? Has there been a point in time in your life when you have confessed your sin before an almighty holy God, believed that Jesus died on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago for your sin, was buried and resurrected for you? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is there a point in your life when you go back to when you know for sure you ask Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior? If not, that's where it begins. You've got to know God. Once you know God, do you really have faith to believe what God told you, what God tells you, what God's revealed to us in the Bible? And then do you believe that God has you where you're at for a purpose? Paul knew all that, and he was able to boldly stand and say what they needed to hear. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray now that you would work in the hearts of each and everyone that's here. Only you know exactly what they needed to hear today and how that you are trying to make an application in their lives even now, pricking their hearts, helping them to see. Oh God, I pray that they would see. If there's a lost man, woman, child here today, I pray they'd come and get saved. If there's someone that is backslidden and outside the will of God, I pray, God, they would see that, acknowledge that, confess, and repent. Whatever it might be, maybe just someone here that says, I need to have that boldness. They would come and pray for boldness to say what you would have them to say. Blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.